So, Father, we thank you for President Donald Trump. We thank you that he is still the President of the United States of America tonight. And we ask you to give him your spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that he will be more intimate with his Messiah tonight than he has ever been. Lord Jesus, as you are the baptizer, we ask you to baptize President Donald Trump and Melania and Brandon and all of their family with fresh measures of your Holy Spirit, beyond what they've known before. We ask for you to give them everything that they need to fulfill your call and your destiny for their lives. Father, we repent that we've tried to figure out what it is, and we haven't asked you. And Lord, we say tonight, put a hedge of protection around President Donald and Melania Trump and Brandon and all of their family to keep them from every manifestation of wickedness and evil, from every manifestation of illness, infirmity, injury, and premature death. And we ask you to open your scroll for each of them and reveal the next chapter so that they will fulfill your call and destiny for their lives, not what the world says. And Father, we ask especially that you would open a portal of heaven over President Trump, that you would give them the wisdom, the revelation, the strategy, and the timing of heaven for the United States of America, for Israel, and for the nations of the earth, that he would fulfill everything you've called him to be in his term as President of the United States. And Father, we ask much more than we can possibly think or imagine in English, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, no one knew what I was going to talk about tonight, and neither did I till this morning. And I still don't know. So we're just going to go where the Lord wants to go, because I want to welcome you to our celebration of Shavuot 5781. The Hebraic month of Shavuot for this year started on Wednesday night, January 13th. And it will conclude at sundown on Friday, February 12th. So you're in the beginning of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the fourth day of Shavuot 5781. This is the 11th Hebraic month in the cycle of feasts. So from the time of Passover till now, it's the 11th month. This month is aligned with the tribe of Asher. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob. Interesting. That means there's a new beginning. Do you know that 8 and 18 are key numbers in Hebrew for life? Asher was born to Jacob and Leah's maid Zilpah. In Genesis chapter 30, verses 12 and 13 in the New American Standard Version, it says, Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. So this was the second son that Zilpah bore. She bore sons 7 and 8. Interesting. Then Leah said, happy am I, for women will call me happy. So she named him Asher. So this month we celebrate the fact that the new beginning of the Lord for all of us is happiness. One of the blessings for this month is happiness. And that doesn't mean that I feel all good. It means that I know what came out of the worship tonight. Father has everything he promised for us through Yeshua by the blood of the cross. 5781 is the year of Pei Aleph. We talked about that last fall. Asher is an Aleph word. So this month being associated with Asher and Aleph makes it especially important for us in this first year of the decade. The word Asher means happy, and it comes from a primitive Hebrew root word, ashar, also an Aleph word. And ashar means to be straight. I try to be straight. I try to walk in integrity. Especially to be level, right, or happy. You know, we can be that. I think that's in the New Testament for those of you who don't like the Old Testament. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So we can be happy. No more eating lemons before you go out in public and try to witness to how good God is. This month, the happy smile comes on your feet, the happy on your face, the happy dance on your feet, and people are going to be drawn to what you were clothed in worship, the fruit of the Spirit of God. Figuratively, ashar means to go forward, to be honest, and to prosper. So I can be happy and prosper. As I said last month, prosperity is always a soul issue. The Apostle John told us that we would prosper and be in health as our souls prosper. Too many of us have tried to figure it out without allowing Holy Spirit to impart prosperity first to our soul. Shavuot is the month associated with happiness, fatness, which means anointing, and blessings. How many of you would like anointing and blessings? That is one of the benefits of celebrating first fruits this month, is to walk in the new blessings Father is pouring out from heaven. He doesn't have a salvation army or a goodwill bin in heaven where he pulls out all of the stuff we didn't want anymore and gives it to somebody else. He has your scroll all rolled up, and he's just waiting for you to contact him so that he can break the next seal and give you the blessing that was supposed to come. That's one of the reasons why we celebrate first fruits, is because every month has a Rosh Kodesh, first fruit blessing, the head of every month, let alone the head of every year, that we either can attain or in ignorance walk away from. As for me in my house, I'm a blessing hog. Pour it on, Lord. Do you remember Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Perhaps you knew them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 through 15, I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to stop at verse 8. No, I'll stop at verse 9. Now among them, this is from the New American Standard, from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael. Those are the names God gave their moms and dads to call them. Your name is important. Well, I don't like my name, so I'm going to change it. What else are you going to change? Verse 7. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Abednego, to Azariah, Abednego. Do you know the world has assigned names to you? Right now, if you're as prophetic and crazy as me, just take those names the world gave you and throw them to the foot of the cross. That is not who Father sees you as. You're not insecure. You're not insignificant. You're not less than. You are Father's apple in his eye. You are the beauty that he beholds when he looks at you. See, the world wants you to see something less than what heaven says you are. This month, you have the authority, as you're going to hear in a minute, to say no more of that. We did that tonight. We danced on some stuff. In verse 8, it says, but Daniel made up his mind he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials so he might not defile himself. You have the same choice that teenage boy Daniel had. It doesn't matter if you're just old enough to make decisions, which I think is around 1 1/2, or you're 101 1/2. You have the choice to believe God or be seduced by the world. Daniel said, so what? If I die, I die. Do you know that because you are an eternal spirit with an eternal soul, the only thing that stops when I breathe my last is having to figure out what I'm going to wear to church on Saturday night? Because the body may stop, but the spirit and the soul don't. What are you dealing with? We had this conversation right after the prayer time. Guess what Lazarus dealt with? Do you know why Jesus waited 4 days? Because he had revived people from the dead. Because it was taught that after 4 days, the soul and the spirit were now departed from the body. And it wasn't a miracle for a 3-day dead, a 1-day dead, or a 1-minute dead person to come back to life. He was not resurrected. If you don't know what resurrection is, take the foundations class. We explain the difference between being raised from the dead and being resurrected from the dead. But on that fourth day, I didn't know fourth day was going to be mentioned. It's in my notes later. On that fourth day, Jesus knew no one could doubt that he had the authority over death. What are you dealing with? Lisa Fess dealt with a lot of stuff Wednesday night and Thursday, but nothing like Lazarus dealt with. Lazarus had such a divine assignment that the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and all of the politicians decided they weren't going to kill just Jesus. They had to kill Lazarus because he was the only person that we know of in history who was brought back from the dead after 4 days, up until that time. There's been more in the 20th century. We're going to end with verse 9 and 10 together. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commanders and of the commander of the officials, and the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord, the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should I see how your faces looking more haggard than the youths of your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. You know, most of the time the world's not concerned about your welfare. They're concerned about me, mine, and my. Where's my treasure? Where's my reward? What's in it for me? It's no different in Daniel's day than it is today. So this month we need to remember Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. We need to remember that the same one who walked through the fiery furnace with the three boys is walking through everything with you. Yes. Did Jesus say he will never leave you or forsake you? Yes. Is he a liar? No. Then you've got that assurance. What can any person do to you? Shavuot is a month to beware of the delicacies of the king. There's a whole bunch of seduction out there right now. There's a whole bunch of deception out there right now. There's a whole bunch of defilement out there right now trying to look real sweet like candy to you. I know this is talking about what goes into my belly, but the Lord is more concerned of what goes into your heart. Because what goes into your belly can hurt you, but it can't kill you. Only the Lord taking your breath away can kill you. And he knows exactly when that second in eternity is. We need to trust in the Lord and follow his ways this month like never before. It just happens to be coincidental that it's January and February this year. What you eat is key to your health and your prosperity. But this goes far beyond what you're eating physically. Shavuot, especially in 5781, is a time to contend for the atmosphere of heaven to hover over you. Do you know that there is a portal in your life? You are the portal to heaven that the Lord wants to pour his glory through everywhere he sends you. The Lord prophesied over this region February of last year that he was creating his sons and daughters to be portable portals so he could send you places and pour his glory through you. He could send you places so you could begin to decree his will over those places. This month, I'm going to give you a simple decree. That's why we decreed tonight. I didn't realize it. But we need to be decreeing things. My blessings are on the way. Say it. Your ears are the first to hear what comes out of your heart and out of your mouth. My blessings are on the way. I have been waiting almost 36 years for some of those promises, and in one case, it'll be 40 years this summer, and the Lord is moving to bring them to pass. Do you want to know what? If I have to wait until 2023, it will be 1 hour for God. He's not slow in keeping his promises. You can look that up in Peter. He knows what he has told you. And you know what? I'm foolish enough to remind him of it every day in prayer. I'm not begging. I'm not whining. I'm just saying, Lord, you said this. Lord, you said the shedding of innocent blood is illegal in heaven. And you know they've killed 63 million babies in the United States of America. What are you going to do about that, God? It's your word that said the shedding of innocent blood is illegal. I call your angels to stop that. You know what? If enough crazy people on the earth believe God at his word and start praying that way, we're going to see his terrible swift sword we sang about put an end to the killing of children in the womb. You know, that's not a new thing, by the way. You can read Exodus chapter 1, but I may be getting ahead of myself. Pharaoh wanted to kill the baby boys before they were out of the womb. That's today called partial birth abortion, and it's a medical procedure, not an abomination. But I say it's an abomination. See, you contend by warring in the heavens. Not, oh, dear God, would you please? You know how you war in the heavens? Through worship and fervent intercession. It started about 4 p.m. here this afternoon. And it's just crescendoing because I believe you're going to carry it out everywhere you go, not just this week, but until Jesus returns. See, when I worship and I move into fervent intercessions, I release what is within me through declarations, through decrees, and through proclamations. None of you are immature believers. Now, if someone just came up tonight and got saved for the first time, they might be immature. But if I were living in the book of Acts time, it would be 4 days they were immature. Not 4 years, or when they finished catechism, or when they got a graduate degree in some type of theology. Because they got filled with the Holy Spirit. They got delivered of all the junk that they came with. And they got set forth, usually in the second day, to start doing what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And while you're at it, preach the gospel. You don't need a degree from some university to do that. You are not immature believers because you have the word of God within you. If all you know is Jesus wept, use it. It doesn't matter how much you know, it's what you do with the word that's in you. Yes, Jesus wept is a verse in the Bible for some of the people who say, what's he talking about? He was the expression of God in the earth showing that he had emotion. So your emotions are okay. Just don't let them get outside of the fruit of self-control. You also have Jesus, the living word of God in you, who has never lost a battle. I want to be on his team. I do care who wins the football game tonight. Because my grandsons care who wins the football game tonight. But if Jesus came back right now, no one would care who wins the football game tonight. So let's get our priorities straight. Oh, by the way, there will be no refreshments tonight unless you have them in your house. That's just because we weren't able to quickly get them prepared. Next week, there will be. You must eat the Word of God. Isn't it nice how that just segued in there? Eat the Word of God this month. It's very important that you are not just feeding your body, but you are feeding your soul and your spirit with the only thing that can sustain you. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to contend with the one who thought he owned the world. And every time the enemy, you can read that, the media, the politicians, the teachers, anybody that says anything counter to the Word of God, that's the enemy. It's not the people, it's the spirit behind them. Remember, all warfare is in the spirit first. When the enemy twisted the Word of God, just like he did with Eve, and Eve twisted it even further, Jesus, being the living Word of God, wasn't concerned. He just quoted the right word that should have been used in the answer to each of the three questions. Can God provide all your needs? Does God know what your destiny is? Does he know what your portion is? Then you just need to know his word to speak against the seducer, the defiler, the deceiver, and the beguiler. Jezebel is coming down this year. Amen. Leviathan is coming down this year. I don't care what I see with my eyes or hear with my ears. My heart is tuned to the king who has never lost a battle. This month is key. Eat the Word of God and allow Holy Spirit to quicken you to boldly release the decrees of heaven on earth. That's why we practiced here tonight. This is a practice place. You can go to the place you work and you can put your mask on, you can put your hand over your mouth. You can do whatever you need to do. See, I used to stroke my mustache. And I used to decree the word of the Lord over board meetings and over supply meetings and over customer meetings. And somehow we got these contracts, we got work done, we got inventions. He filled the atmosphere. It's not my will, it's his will. So, is this scriptural? Of course. Job 22:28 in the Amplified. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. How many of you want God's favor to shine upon your ways? You know, that's a lot easier than blood, sweat, and tears. When I hear what Father is saying and decree his word into a matter, it establishes what Jesus said to do on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Your will, your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And when I am foolish enough to do those things, it says his light of favor will shine on my path. Not the light on my phone, not the LED in my car door, his light of favor. I tell you, in the last 2.5 months, I have had the light of Father's favor turn deer away from my car more times than I can remember. I go 10% over the speed limit. No, it's not good, but it's comfortable for me. And they think they're going to do things. It's interesting how Bambi and whatever Bambi's father was, just turn away because we decree the protection of the Lord's angels over us. And they keep me alert to what's happening. Shavuot 5781 should be a month in which we are happy in his presence and release the authority of his word over everything Father has entrusted to us. If you live in an apartment, that's what Father's entrusted to you. If you live in a dorm room, that's what Father's entrusted to you. If you have a business, if you have an office, if you work someplace for someone else, that's what Father has entrusted unto you. That is your harvest field. You know, if I don't labor in the field, I don't get a harvest. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now, that may seem real simple in the earth realm, but in all eternity, he's going to ask me, what did you do when I sent so-and-so across your path? Well, I was too busy. I had other things to take care of. Be sensitive to what Holy Spirit's asking you to steward this month. Shavuot is a month that's aligned with the Hebrew letter Tzaddik. It is the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is not only a number of life, it has the numerical value of 90 in the Hebrew numbering system. Tzaddik symbolizes righteousness and humility. Isn't that who our Messiah is? Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord our righteousness, and it's one expression of who the Lord is for us in this month of Shavuot. The Lord our righteousness. He is the righteous judge. And humility is going to be an important key for each of us in 2021 for opening the doors for our future. I'm going to try something. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That is Micah 6:8. It happens to be our son's favorite Bible verse. But it is key to what you and I must walk in order to overcome. Hebrews 6:8 this month, I want you to meditate on Micah 6:8. It says, humble yourself before God, declare with great expectation. Oh God, would you please? No. I declare God is going to move. I declare the hand of the Lord will do whatever it is he said he was going to do. If he has shown you, that means he's given you the authority of heaven to declare it or to decree it in the earth realm. Declare with great expectation his kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy to come over you and the work of your hands this month. Meditate on it. And he's going to bring, it's already starting to happen, he's going to bring situations up this week where we have to choose to humble ourselves. Do you want to fight the battle or do you want the angels to fight the battle? The humble have their head low because the angels are going after Father's enemies. That's not the people. That's the spirits. In Genesis 1:14, we read, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and tokens of God's provident care, and to mark seasons, days, and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky and give light on the earth. And it was so. This is what God did in the fourth day. You all know I'm a four person. I was born on the fourth day of a month divided by four and a year divided by four. I like fours. He already talked about four tonight that I didn't even know he was going to. Let's read that again. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and tokens of God's provident care and to mark seasons, days, and years. That is what Rosh Kodesh is all about. Father has a blessing each time the new moon came up. When the new moon rose over Israel Wednesday evening, Aquarius was the predominant constellation in the sky, the group of stars that we call Aquarius. Shavuot is a month that's associated with Aquarius because that's the predominant constellation when the new moon came up over Israel in this 11th month of the Hebraic year. Or it's also associated with what we call the water bearer. This month, you should be sure to ask who is bringing water to you. Who's giving you drinks? Is it Yeshua giving us living water? Or are we going to wait for someone to draw water out of a well someplace? Is someone giving you a drink of more manipulation control? It's also called witchcraft. From the world? Or are you getting a fresh drink of revelation from the throne room of glory? You can look up the story of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis chapter 24, but let me just summarize what this chapter was about. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Now, Isaac was old enough to marry, but Abraham, who so knew the Father, and he was called by God his friend, he told his servant, "You are not to allow my son to be married to the ways of the world." I mean, the women of the land. "My son shall not be married to the ways of the world." Are you married to the ways of the world? Do you care more about what the world thinks about you than what Father has said about you? Who are you aligned with this month? As I was writing this morning, I was told to stop at this point to prophesy. The Lord says that if you will align yourself with me in this month in such a measure that the things of the world become even bitter and sour to your taste, I will replace it with the sweetness of who I am. I will give you those things which I have promised as you draw near to me. When you come to me with a heart that is humble and a mouth that is hungry for the things of my kingdom, for the truth of my word, I will overflow you with revelation from heaven. I will send you to places to prosper in my presence. I will not send you out to beg, even as I did not send them out of Egypt begging. I sent them out with the reward of heaven that I laid up for them for 430 years. No, I am about to bring the revelation of those things which you have said, "Can Father do this?" Tonight I say doubt and unbelief are a part of the world, and they are not any longer a part of my bride. Allow me to replace everything that has held you back with what I created to propel you forward. Thank you, Lord. I'll take that. This month, declare your alignments will bring spiritual refreshing to you. Most of you have chosen to be aligned somehow with this local house or wherever you on the web are aligned. Allow where you are aligned to bring you the spiritual heavenly waters of the river of life that is crescendoing. It's no longer a little trickle. It is the fourth stage of the river in Ezekiel chapter 47, the overwhelming, overflowing, raging torrent, a winter stream that is above the banks that I have to let go and let God in. It's going to be a rough ride. I'm saying that prophetically. It will be a rough ride, but so is the ark. And everyone inside the ark survived. Shavuot is a month that is important to taste. Our taste is important this month. The enemy of your soul knows this because taste is important for spiritual discernment. He wants to take your taste away from you. It's interesting that the disease the world is dealing with, that's one of its manipulations and manifestations. It wants to take your taste. so you can't discern good and evil. It's important to be eating correctly spiritually. For what you taste and meditate on produces life and nourishment for your future. If I am meditating on the same things the Lord had me meditate on almost 40 years ago when I came back to Jesus, I'm meditating on the wrong things. Those are foundational, and I should be meditating on the revelation that he is bringing to me through his word and through his spirit. Yes, the spirit and the word are essential to prosper as believers. Enjoy the word of God in your mouth this month. Swirl it around. You know, if you were a wine drinker, they taste first with their eyes. They look for the clarity. They taste with their olfactory sense before it ever makes it to their mouth. How many of us have taken time to ponder the word, to savor the fragrance of the word, to taste the sweetness of the word, and then to have it come back when Holy Spirit says, speak what I showed you this morning. Taste and see is good, and you will discern the darkness which is crouching at your door. Most of us have shut off our senses. We've dulled them with television news. We've dulled them with reading what the world wants us to read. And, Al will feed us with the word tonight. Someone will open the Bible and read it to us. Boy, if I only got what I got on Saturday nights or Sunday mornings, I would be an anemic skeleton. And the enemy would go, join the valley of the dry bones. But I'm one of those who's going to walk into the valley of the dry bones, and I'm going to say, hear the word of the Lord. And I believe you and you on the web are going to be resurrection workers. Psalm chapter 1, it's only got 6 verses. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This month is a key month to be meditating in his word day and night. Ask him to give you one verse every day if that's all you can meditate on, and meditate on it day and night. Whether you start at the Hebraic first watch, which is 6 o'clock in the evening, or whatever time you do back to that watch again, in your 24-hour period, let that be a verse, Holy Spirit. You know how a cow eats? Rumination. Chews its cud. It goes from 4 chambers. You have 4 chambers in your heart. Let the word move from chamber to chamber to chamber till he says it's too much. Speak it. And then let it return to him victorious, because you were foolish enough to meditate on it and be available for him. Verse 3, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by the waters, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. I see hands of prosperity in this room. I sense them in the rooms on the web. These were made to prosper because they are yielded to the word of the Lord and a heart that meditates. I don't know why he gave me creative and inventive ideas to do things in science. I don't know why he gives me things in writing. I don't know, and I don't ask why. I just am foolish enough to believe he said it, therefore it is. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This month, I challenge you to read Psalm 1 every day. out loud to yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear it, all of a sudden, it births faith in you, even though you understand it or not. This is fairly straightforward to understand. I don't understand everything I read in the scripture, but many of you know for 40 years I've been reading the scripture out loud to myself. Ask yourself this question: how does my olive tree blossom? That's what it says. It says your olive tree is going to blossom. Is it productive? Is it prolific? Is it fruitful? I got one blossom. Nurture it. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Ask yourself what your roots are going deep into. I will take time out later tonight to watch the football game. But there was a season in my life where I would not even have a television. And I would not watch football when we did have a television, because I had to deal with the lust sins of my forefathers, and I couldn't watch commercials or cheerleaders. Therefore, I chose to abstain from football. I watched my football, soccer, because they don't have cheerleaders. Shavuot is the month of the new year of the trees. This is the month in Israel that they celebrate the new year of the trees. Shavuot 15, which is January 28th this year, is Tu B'Shvat. It means the new year of the trees. Since Israel became a nation again in May 14th, 1948, they have been planting trees all around Israel, which has been the ploy of the enemy to set fire to their trees. Because once you've got a tree planted in the wilderness, it starts to draw water and you start to have fertile lands. And if you haven't been to Israel, you can look it up. They're planting trees everywhere. We have sent trees to Israel to be planted, and they plant them. And so they celebrate because the Lord told them to reclaim the desert and restore the beauty of the land that he promised to give by faith to Abraham. Has that promise stopped? This is the land I'm giving to your children and your children's children. And until Yeshua comes back, that promise is still sure. In our lifetime, since 1948, we've been able to see that. We happened to be in Israel when President Trump was there to celebrate the 50th reunification of Jerusalem under Israeli rule in his first term as president, his first year as president, and see what they're doing, see how they love it. Oh, by the way, we were part of 22 nations that were invited, Christians, that were invited to come and celebrate with the Jews, not Messianic, although the Messianic Jews were with us, and dance in the streets with them to celebrate the 50th, the Jubilee anniversary of the reunification of Israel. And the believers from every nation we were with came up to us at dinner over the course of 2 or 3 days and apologized for the way our media treated our president. The ones from England said they thought the BBC was bad. They said, we've never seen anything this bad. But yet Israel, all over the place, huge billboards the size of that wall, were proclaiming, Trump makes Jerusalem Zoo great again. Trump makes Jerusalem Museum great again. They used his campaign slogan, and everything that he was doing to help them, they were declaring. You know how simple your declarations are? It can be just that simple. Shavuot is also a time to regroup over your children, to regroup over those the Lord has called you to disciple, and to regroup over those the Lord has called you to mentor. Around the year 2000 is where the Jews believe this happened. They decided that Yom HaMishpacha, the day of the family, would be celebrated on Shavuot 30. every year they have a Family Day celebration. This year that's February 12th. It's the last day of the month. That evening we will begin another first fruits. So on the 13th, when we have our service, we'll have a first fruits celebration. One of the things I love about what the Lord is doing in this house is family. Father wants 3 and 4 generations to worship together. That's why we encourage the kids to dance. If you joined us and you said, why are they singing higher, 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 lift Jesus higher? It's because we want the kids, as soon as they can start to worship, to realize they can worship the same King of Glory who created them like I can in my advanced years. I intend to worship him until he takes my last breath away. As we conclude our time together this evening, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, but not right now. I want to do something very quickly. It could be an entire other message. But this week, the Lord's been speaking to me about where we are in the United States. And he's been speaking to me out of the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the living word of God, and he does not change. So it's just the same there. They just had a desert, and they had a Nile River, and they had the Mediterranean Sea. We've got the Genesee River, and we've got the absence of faith as our desert. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. So let's look at some things prophetically out of Exodus. I'm not going to put the scriptures up, but I'll give them to you. You can go look them up. Exodus 3:19, I'm going to summarize as this. God is not surprised by the deeds of leaders on the earth whose hearts are rebellious against him. And God always has the final word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Exodus 5:8. Disinformation is evil's plan to steal your time so you will not seek God and hear his voice. Worship God, rest in his presence, and walk in his will. Pharaoh was trying to tell the people of Israel, Moses and Aaron don't know what they're talking about. When you meet with God, his word to you, confirmed, of course, in the scripture so I don't get flaky and fly off and make my own theology. His word to you is more sure than CNN, MSNBC, and any other alphabet soup you want to throw into it. They are all controlled by Jezebel and Leviathan. They are coming down. You can either be for God or against him. That's the only choice you have. I'd rather follow in the wake of his glory, water ski behind the glory cloud of God, than try one step to be in his face. I'm going to see him face to face, but I'm not going to rebel in his face. Exodus 12:58. Obedience to the Lord prepares us to be vessels for the manifestation of the miraculous. When the people did what the Lord said, take a little blood from that lamb, take a little of Jesus' blood, and now I'm going to tell you, put it on your heart. You've already done that. You're born again. Put it on your flesh and put it on your soul, your mind, your intellect, and your emotions. Because anything that's under the blood, the enemy can't eat. And if you want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, the Lord told the devil he could eat the dust of the earth. That's you and me. Because he created us out of the dust of the earth. And unless we choose to put his blood over our spirit, born again, our soul, deliverance, and our body, healing. The enemy knows he's got legal right, and he will use whatever he can in the world to try to keep you from being a vessel that manifests the miraculous. If you read it real careful, even the Egyptians who chose to put the blood of the lamb on their doors did not have their firstborn die. Exodus 15:3. Could I have the worship team come up? The Lord has won the war. On the third day when Jesus rose from the dead, what he said on the cross was fulfilled. It is finished. There is no battle God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit have not won. They never lose. That's the team I want to be on. The battle is not over until righteousness, peace, and joy prevail. When the battle is won in your heart, it can be won everywhere you go. This is going to be the last scripture I give you tonight, and I think they're going to put it up. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It always starts here in Jerusalem, your heart. This is a pattern Jesus gave us for ministry. You can apply it anywhere you want to any level of ministry you want. It always starts with what he's doing in your heart, your spirit. And then in Judea, maybe your marriage or your immediate family. And then in Samaria, maybe your neighborhood, maybe your extended family. We got to spend some Samaria time over Christmas. And then wherever Jesus sends you. Wegmans, school, Eastman School of Music, the mayor's office, the county executive's office. If he sends you, you know, because you did it first here, he's giving you authority to speak that word to the person he brings you across their path. If he doesn't say, speak now, you don't have to worry about it. But when he says, I prepared you for this moment, speak it, then you know that when you speak it, he's going to perform it. So why don't you stand? We're going to end our Shabbat, our first fruits for Shabbat celebration by releasing this blessing over you. And when you sing it, you're going to release it everywhere you go. You'll know it. Our children know this. So Sam and Lily and Philip, this is what I prayed over your dad. This is what I prayed over your Aunt Jess. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you or lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Father, I send your sons and daughters to prosper in your presence. I send them to fulfill your destiny on their lives. I send them to be ambassadors of grace and glory every place you send them. I send them to be vessels of thanksgiving before your throne and vessels of the miraculous to release your glory on the path you've set before them. And I send them to be bearers of the fruit of your spirit everywhere you had called them. In Jesus' name.